Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Okay, my name is Justin Young. Now, how many of you in here have what I'd like to call a little bit of ADD? Okay? All right? I don't believe any of you. You know why? Because by now you should have been like, wow, he's wearing a pink tie. I had something pink for lunch yesterday. What are we having for lunch today? You know what? I bet you could tile the entire Starship Enterprise, and if you built the Starship Enterprise starting today, you could have it finished by 2020, fully functional. Okay, so you'd already be there by now. So, and yes, I did bring up the Starship Enterprise because I'm a nerd and I'm okay with that. I have embraced it. And that's okay, but I've always been different. The first time I knew I was different was I was 10 years old. Everything happened with me around 10 years old. I wanted nothing more than a pair of pink Converse high tops. You know, no one else was wearing them. I thought I'd be a trend starter, but I just thought they were the coolest friggin' shoes. And so I begged my mom, "Mom, please, 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 can I get some pink Converse? Can I get some pink Converse, please?" My mom said no. Why do you think she said no?
Because pink is for girls.
Pink is for girls. What did she think would happen to me when I wore them to school? Oh, that it would not be well for her son to wear those things to school. She finally, after like a ton of begging, she finally gave in. Oh my gosh, you know what? Stand by. I was supposed to be recording all this, so you got to do everything again. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. So, as I was saying, she finally gave in and got me a pair of pink Converse high tops. I was so excited. Actually, they weren't Converse. They were a knockoff brand because she didn't want to pay the money for Converse when she knew I was just going to, you know, put them away. But I even drew a star on the side because I was like, these are going to be Converse. I put them on, wore them to school. I was so excited. But as moms usually are, she was right. And that's when the teasing happened and they're making fun of me for the pink shoes. And it was cool for a while, but eventually I just, all right. So I just stuck them in the closet. You know, I guess it wasn't a big deal, but when that happened, it was like, I felt like I was putting a piece of me away, just tucking it away. And I went on being a kid, you know, doing what every other kid do. But that was the beginning of me trying to be what everyone else wanted me to be. When I was 7, 8, or 9 years old, right in there, my best friend, his name was Daniel. I'm not making this up. His last name was Daniel. First name was Daniel, normal name. Last name is Heine. Yes, spelled and pronounced exactly the same as your Heine. Daniel Heine. I love these. My first best friend ever. I would always go to his house to play. He'd come over to my house to play. And one time, went over to his house, and he had to leave early. So his mom was like, "Justin, you want us to give you a ride home?" I said, "No, I've been here millions of times. You're only about 10 blocks away." So I decided to walk home by myself. Big boy. Started walking, doing good. All right. I know that house. Things, street names started to look the same. Houses started looking the same. And then I got lost. And I remember standing there on the street corner, and from behind me, this way across the street, this is what I heard. I heard it again. I turned around, and there was the biggest German Shepherd I have ever seen in my entire life. On the other end, on the end of the leash, was this, it had to have been like middle school, early high school. All I knew, he had one of those wannabe, I just hit puberty mustaches going on. You know, and he was on the, he had, was holding the leash, and he said, "What's the matter, little boy? Oh, are you scared? If you run, I'm going to let him go." And this dog, he was ready to go. You never watch, how many of you like scary movies? You are much braver than I am. I hate them. You know when you watch one of those thrillers or movies and the monster, the guy with the chainsaw is coming after you, but then they just stand there. You know, like, run, what are you thinking? Go. You're going to get chopped up in the hamburger. And then, you know, they get chopped up in the hamburger. That's being frozen with fear. I was frozen with fear. I was not going to run. I didn't know what to do. It made me think of something. It made me think that I need a drink of water. But I'll turn it into an object lesson, I promise. Excuse me. All right. How many of you raise your hand? Half full. Okay. Half empty. Okay. How many of you just think the bottle's too big? Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So there's lots of different ways to look at things. All right. So if it's half full, they say you're a what?
Optimist.
If it's half empty, they say you're a what? If you say it's the bottle's too big, they say you're what? Okay, you know, you're an out-of-the-box thinker, all right? So there's more than just, you know, a couple ways to look at life, look at a situation. There's the positive way and the negative way. My daughter, hey, bud, would you do me a favor? Grab that black and white notebook for me. My daughter, I'm in the entertainment industry, and I make my living by not only coming out and speaking to groups like you, but I need my mouth and my words. But guess what? You would never know, probably, that I am a stutterer. How many of you would guess that I'm a stutterer? Right on. Right on. Okay. When I was so bad. I stuttered so bad when I was a kid, my parents would call me Porky Pig. Once I got over the emotional trauma at that cost. But apparently it's hereditary because my daughter, who's now 8, but she has it too. She was really bad when she was young. And I grew up, actually a friend of mine, he was a bad stutterer too, but he kept his stutter really severe on through middle school and high school. We're talking, I mean, serious stuff. But we were so close. I'm sure y'all have me a friend that's that close, you're close with. You didn't need, you know, for him to finish his sentence, you could finish it for him. Movie starts at 7:30. I'll pick you up at 6:30. No, it's plenty of time. Well, don't talk about my mom like that. Okay, it's cool. I'll pick up at 6. All right, so it's that kind of relationship. My daughter, when she was 4 years old, can y'all see that? What do you think that is? A rainbow. She was trying to draw, for a four-year-old, trying to draw a rainbow. And, excuse me, but she came up to me, and I was in the kitchen. She handed me this rainbow. She says, she struggles with her stutter. You can keep it for, you know what you want to say, but you don't have the word for it. How many of you have little brothers and sisters, nieces, nephews, okay? They don't have this huge vocabulary, all right? And sometimes it's like that with us. We know what we want to say, but I don't know the right word. Normally, I would have helped her. What do you think she was trying to say? You can keep this for forever, right? That's what she wanted to say. You can keep this for forever. But I wanted to hear, because when you let little kids try to say what they really mean, amazing things come out of their mouths. So she says, you can keep this for all the tomorrows. And so I took it and I wrote, keep it for all the tomorrows on the bottom. And I've kept it with me for 4 years now. And it's a reminder, because what is forever for us? It's each tomorrow. It's every tomorrow. Now, how many of you, and are most of you here homeschooled, or some of you thinking about doing homeschool? Raise your hand if you're homeschooled. All right, better question, raise your hand if you're not homeschooled yet. Okay? All right, cool. Talking about, you know, when you talk about people who are positive and people who are negative, two people come to mind. When I was in, middle school, high school, it can be brutal, man. How many of you have been to public school? Okay, so you weren't homeschooled your whole time. This is my relationship with a guy named Nathan. Okay? My relationship with Nathan. In the hall, my books. Hey, Nathan. Thanks. And Nathan, he was a jock. Tall, handsome, built. Cheerleader hanging off of each arm, one around his neck. Walking the halls, strutting his stuff. He was in most of my classes, and he sat next to me a lot of times because his last name just happened to be close to mine. Sit down in class. Oh, hey, Nathan, how are you? Charlie Horse, love you. Okay. Teacher's not looking. Books off my desk. Onto the floor. How many of you know what gleeking is? What's gleeking? Can you explain it?
Where you lift your tongue a little bit and something comes out of your mouth.
You lift your tongue a little bit and it's kind of, you press back and there's a gland back there, like a saliva gland that squirts a little bit of saliva out. Some of you do it accidentally when you yawn. Okay, have you ever yawned before and then, whoa, sorry, dude. That happened to me the other day. I was giving somebody a ride. I turned to look the car. I yawned at the same time and on the guy's shirt. No, luckily, he was wearing a jacket. And he didn't even feel it. So I was good there. But one thing, I'd always wanted to learn how to do that, but I can't. But Nathan knew how to do that. So yes, in class. Thanks, Nathan. This went on for years. And one day in Spanish class, I was just sitting there. I stood up. Boom! Nathan went down. The kids in the class went, woo! The teacher went, Justin, we're so happy you did that. They put me up on their shoulders and started marching me around. And then, hey, Nathan. That's what ADD does to you, dreamland. One of my favorite holidays is Halloween. Candy City, man. It's like, but the Halloween this year, it fell on the weekend. So we, the next week back at school on Monday after having Halloween over the weekend, you've got this sugar hangover. You know, dude, how many pixie sticks did you eat last night? I had like five. That ain't nothing, man. I got a piece of Laffy Taffy. Looked like Justin Bieber's face. And one. Oh, what'd you do? I ate it, man. What? That's disgusting. That's cool. Right, but anyway, it's like, all this candy. So everyone was kind of down and, feeling. But even the teachers had this kind of somber look to their faces and sat down in class. Nathan wasn't there. And then the principal comes over the loudspeaker and says that Nathan was killed in a car accident over the weekend, Halloween. There were cheerleaders crying in the halls. The teachers were really upset. The rest of his teammates just distraught that they lost the fellow team member. How do you think I felt? Ideas. How do you think I felt? Pretty bad?
Terrible.
Horrible?
Ambivalent.
Nice word. Yeah.
Confused.
Numb.
Like you were two people almost. Like one half of you was kind of happy, but the other half was like upset about what happened.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, there's two more.
Relieved.
Okay. I was relieved. That's exactly how I felt, but I was also conflicted. I wanted to feel bad. because someone died. But I couldn't. I felt, finally, I'm free. And I was the only one that felt that way. The other person that comes to mind when I was in elementary school, middle school, I didn't know his name. So I called him Q-Tip. And this is why. He was older than I was, so he was a few grades ahead of me, but he was tall. He was a tall, scrawny white boy with a big afro. That is why we called him Q-Tip. But he walked, I'm not joking, he walked like this. And he was so skinny, excuse me, and so just awkward looking, all right? Now, of course, you know, people are making fun of him left and right. But every time I saw this kid, he was so happy. He was always smiling, always joking around with the teachers. Teachers just loved him. And you couldn't help but really like this guy, even though you heard other people talking bad about him in the hallways. So I looked up to, I didn't know his name, but I looked up to that guy. And so that made me think a lot about like how we see ourselves. My daughter, same cute, stuttering little daughter that gave me my rainbow. She had magnets on the refrigerator at her grandparents' house, my parents' house, and she would always run in and play with these magnets on this fridge where you could see your reflection. So one day we're in the kitchen and she's playing with the magnets and then she stops. She starts looking at herself in the, I thought, what is she doing? She kept making faces. And so, but then she turns around and looks up at me with this bright smile on her face and she says, "Daddy, when I smile, my eyes sparkle." And it made me think, at what point in our lives do we look in our mirrors and no longer see the sparkle? But we focus on, oh man, another one? Oh. Or we see those eyebrows that are too thick, too thin, unibrow. Hey, Bert, where's Ernie? You know? Or maybe one ear is lower than the other. Maybe you have a lazy eye. Maybe you have a big mole on your face. Not talking about a beauty mark, but like one of those that has its own gravitational pull kind of moles on your face. Too fat, too thin. Unusually hairy for a person your age. We focus so much on those negative things that we sometimes miss and maybe even lose that sparkle in our eye. So what's the answer? Let me tell you a little bit about my life growing up in the entertainment industry. 10 years old, I got my first paying gig. It was awesome. 10 years old, imagine you're 10 years old, you get a check for $300. Whoa. Now, in 1986, that was like getting a check today for like $600. You got your own bank account open, you start raking it in. And that's, I remember, once everyone in my fourth grade class found out that I, you know, did a commercial and I was making money, I was literally backed up against a table, surrounded by all the girls. Asking me questions and that's when I knew that even from a young age, girls are instinctively attracted to men with money. So it's inbred in you. But guess who is standing towards the back of the classroom? All the guys. He's competition now. That's when I found out who my real friends were. Two guys in particular, Aaron and David, they would always make fun of me. If I was performing for a school that day and I'd come home with a little bit of eyeliner, I'd come to school with a little bit of eyeliner still left on. They'd be, "Joe, would you wear tights today?" So, yeah. You know, and so it was always a harp on me, but I knew what I loved to do. This was me. I loved doing this. But after a while, after the years, those questions, that bullying, that teasing turned into questions. And I'm not lying, by the end of middle school, high school, they were the biggest drama geeks in the whole school. If you needed something drama-ish, you would go to David and Aaron. Time went on. Another thing that I need a little explanation on. Maybe you can help me out. We're doing a Broadway musical. I was not on Broadway, unfortunately. It was here. But my character, I was the superhero in the show. I was the suave leading man, singing very charismatically to the hero S, the girl hero. I don't know what you call him. Heroine. Thank you. Oh, that sounds like a drug. Heroine. Here, there we go. And I thought I stunk because I watched the tapes. I knew how I sounded. I didn't think I was that great. But so we leave the theater. Usually, as cast members, how many of you have been like during the day with a homeschool group or a school group? You go see a show, an opera, a Broadway show, a play, something like that. Okay, so there's a group, a bunch of high school groups came into the theater and they watched us perform this show. So they came in, and then after the show, the cast members come out front to say hi, thanks for coming, and they sign some autographs here and there. Okay, high school group comes in, we put on a show, we go out front, and then I start hearing this like rumbling from inside the theater like a stampede. The doors whew, fly open, and all these, I'm 14 years old, all these high school girls come running right around me. And they're like, they're screaming and trying to touch me and putting like programs and pens. So my friend who was next to me, he's like, okay, here you go. So I was signing on his back at the table. And they're trying to touch me. And then so they got on their bus and their hands were reaching out the bus. And my friends were like, go to the school bus. Like, no, I'm not going to the school bus. No, go, 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 go. All right, so go over there. And they're touching my hand. I get up on the bus, but this is something that is beyond my understanding. They were crying. Ladies, why do you do? You don't see two guys going, "Oh man, a Kelly Clarkson." Oh my, Katy Perry. You don't see that. So, and you know, and that's, you know what, ladies. That's why we love you. You're that emotional half that you complete us. You take so. And then when I was 15 years old, Old Dominion University in Norfolk, we produced a musical there that I actually helped to write at 15 years old, and I was starring in it. That time of my life, I could have any girl I want. I was making money, you know, like everything. I was on top of my game. How many of you know when you were born? Raise your hand. How many of you know when you were born? If you're not raising your hand, you need to talk to somebody. How many of you know when you're going to die? Know when you're going to die? How many of you know that? If you're raising your hand, you really need to talk to somebody. Those are two things in life that we have no control over. Those choices are not ours to make. So you're looking at a kid like me, 15 years old, just on top of, like, the world. I made a choice that was not mine to make. When a stream of blood shot out of my arm, I put down the razor blade, and what am I doing? What am I doing? My parents got me to the hospital, stitched me up. This was before cell phones. My brother had left me and my younger sister at home by ourselves. Said, "Y'all cool?" "Yeah." Put yourself in my brother's shoes. He comes home. Nobody is home, and there's blood all over the bathroom. What did that do to him? Brother found out where I was, went to the hospital, sat down next to my bed. First time I've ever heard him cuss. 10 years old, he's 10 years older than I am. He said, "Justin, what the bleep are you doing?" And it wasn't a little bleep, it was a big bleep. I said, I don't know. I don't know, man. It was then that I realized what was happening. I had spent my whole life expecting other people and other things to make me happy. That it was my parents' responsibility to make me happy. It was my friends' responsibility. If I'm unhappy, it's their fault. The money was supposed to make me happy. The fame was supposed to make me happy. The girls crying for me was supposed to make me happy. But guess what? I wasn't happy. Because when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see a sparkle. I saw the unibrow. I saw the pimples. I didn't see myself for who I really was. There's a musical I'm working on, and that's why the piano's out. There's only been one small group of people who have ever heard this song that I'm about to play for you now. It's from that musical. Now, granted, a female is supposed to be singing it, but since I'm lacking in certain qualifications to be a female, I'm going to perform that for you today. So I tell you that a female is supposed to be singing it because there may be a line or two that sound kind of for a guy to be singing. But it's okay because the intention is dead on. Yes, I've been battling a cold, so this is very... Is this all I am? Is this me? The past staring me down? Is this all I'll be? Am I just anyone? Is this all they'll see? Am I ready to stand? Am I ready at all? I'm scared my first step will be my downfall. Am I just anyone? No. I am me. How do you know when the way you're going, without even knowing what's ahead, is the one thing you've been waiting for? When all around you the world starts crashing, your mind starts flashing to everyone who's put you down, and you think, are they right? Will I ever be more? I am who I am. This is me. I'll walk this road even if they can't see that I'm not just anyone. This is my destiny. So you say I'm not cute and I'm not very tall. Just give me a chance, cause my dream sure ain't small. I'm not just anyone. I am me. How can you fly thinking your wings are broken, and you can't stop choking down the lies you're forced to tell to fit the mold that you've outgrown? You know it's time, and though the way's uncertain, it's not your final curtain, this won't be your final bow. Now live the life you've always known. I am who I am, this is me. I'll walk this road and I will believe that I'm not just anyone. This is my destiny. Don't tell me I can't, cause I'll say I can. Stand out of my way, let me be who I am. I'm not just anyone, I am me. I'm done playing games, living the same old day in, day out. I just want to scream at the top of my... No, I'm too scared. I don't care anymore. Scared or not, I will give it a shot. Cause this undertaking is breaking my aching from making a new life, not one I've been faking. Although it's heartbreaking, heartbreaking, forsaking all who I was. But I'm not who I was. I am strong, I am new, I am fearless and true. I am, I am, I am. I am who I am. This is me. And walking this road will set me free. Cause I'm not just anyone. This is my destiny. You can say I will fail. You can say I will fall. Say what you want, cause I'll show you all that I'm not just anyone. This is my legacy. I may not be cute. I don't care if I'm small. Stand out of my way. I'll break through every wall. Cause I'm not just anyone. I'm not just anyone. I'm not just anyone. I am me. Halloween weekend. Halloween weekend 2009. I woke up from a horrible nightmare. Very violent, very graphic. So bad it woke me up. And I felt like someone was in the room with me, and it scared me to death. I shot a text to my wife. I was laid in bed for like 10 minutes. I sent a text to my wife, who was out with the kids at a family Halloween party. Texted her, I make sure things were okay. Because usually if I have if I get freaked out and my wife's gone, I'll make sure everything's okay. I fell back asleep. An hour later, I get a phone call that no husband ever wants to receive. My wife was killed in an automobile accident. 10 minutes before I sent her that text. You never know when your time comes. But what did she leave behind when she left? She left me two beautiful children. And she left me a better man than I was when I first fell in love with her. I never finished that story about when I faced down that German shepherd. So there I was, me and Shep. I didn't know how I was going to get out of that situation. But then in the distance, I heard something. I heard, "Hey, leave that kid alone." I looked behind me, and coming down the street, guess who I saw? It was Q-Tip. It was Q-Tip. He came up to me and he shooed this bully away and his dog. That kid just laughed and went on his way. And he said, "Justin, are you okay?" He knew my name. And then I remembered, I do know who you are. You don't not only go to my school, but you go to my church. I don't know, I still to this day don't know his name. He stayed there and waited with me until my mom drove up, because she was driving all around the neighborhood trying to find me. And she picked me up and took me home. I don't know his name. I don't know where he is today, or even if he's alive. But he will always, always, in here, be my hero. He was my hero. Because when he looked in the mirror each morning, he knew who he was. Yeah, he had a limp. You know why he limped? That day I found out. He was wearing shorts. He didn't have any legs. Two prosthetic legs. And back in the 80s, they probably didn't have as nice equipment and prosthetics as they do today. Either that, or he was too poor to afford a good pair. I don't know. But when he looked in the mirror, he did not see, I don't have any legs. He didn't see, I'm so scrawny, my nose is big. I can't do anything with my hair. He knew who he was. And he was true to that person to the very end. When I went to Scotland on a family vacation, I tried to be the cool guy. I'm 17 years old. Yeah, I knew, I've been to London before, blah, 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 blah. I was miserable. It wasn't until we went to a really cool castle that I said, give me that camera. I want to take a picture of this. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of this. I was having so much fun. I was trying so hard up to that point not to be a tourist, which is what I was. I'm trying to be someone I wasn't. I even talked to people in a British accent when my parents weren't looking. When we left that castle that day, I bent down to tie my shoe. And in my mind, these exact words, dang it, I'm a tourist. And I'm going to act like a tourist. From that point on, I took the camera. I was in charge of the camera. From that moment, I was as happy as I've ever been, because I was true to who I really was. It's only when you're true to who you are that you find true happiness. So if you're a nerd, embrace it. Love it. If you're a jock, embrace it. Love it. Be who you are. And that's where the true journey to happiness begins. So, to all those guys who made fun of me for wearing pink shoes, this is for you. Okay. Hold on. There we go. I can't come right by. Love that person. Be true to that person. Don't let anyone tell you can't wear pink shoes unless it's to church. Okay? If you want to wear pink, wear pink. I mean, this is for guys. Girls, you already wear pink. You like, you love it. Can someone hit the stop on that, please? It's that big round button on top right. Love who you are. Be true to who you are. Jump as high as you can jump. And you will find your way to true happiness and true success no matter what you choose to do in life. Thank you.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.